Good afternoon. This is 91.3 KUAF, a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, January 17th, 2020. Ahead this afternoon, a new satellite office for the Secretary of State's office opens in Fayetteville, record numbers of flyers for XNA, and efforts here to help with the disaster in Australia. After our show on Science Friday, with the presidential primaries close, how accurate are polling numbers? How do pollsters find you? Science Friday begins at 1 on 91.3 KUAF. There is a Mardi Gras party at the Fort Smith Museum of History tonight, and spoiler, there will be a murder. The Mardi Gras Mask and Murder Masquerade begins at the museum at 6 tonight. For more information, you can go to fortsmithmuseum.org. This is Ozarks at Large. With me from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley with Talk Business and Politics. Michael, a good Friday to you.
Good Friday to you. It'd be a better Friday if I could have found a way to score some Kentucky tickets, but I'll just have to watch on TV.
But don't you just take pleasure in the fact that there are games where people are trying to score tickets to Bud Walton?
Yeah. Yeah, and if the guys standing outside the Bud Walton, they're not looking to sell tickets. They're looking to buy tickets.
They've got fingers up, not tickets.
It's a nice switch.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about aeroplanes. And first, let's talk about the Fort Smith Regional Airport. Traffic was up, and it was up 5.7%. To my novice eyes, that looks significant. Am I correct?
Well, yes. I mean, it's been trending just a little bit higher every year, but this year, 5.7, almost 6%. That's a nice, healthy gain. I just talked to Michael Griffin. He's the airport director. His belief that he said, quotes, direct reflection of the local economy, local community, I should say. And he says business travel accounts for about 75 to 80% of the traffic out of the airport. So his belief is that, and he even said something to the effect that you can put an employment flow chart up and that'll match almost your economy flow chart. So it's the fourth consecutive year of gains out of the airport, and we've almost seen a 10,000 employment gain. And since 2015, there was 86,704 employments. This year, 2019, there was 95,670. That's, over the course of 5 years, a nice increase, because there was a time when the airport, the concern was, will American and will Delta continue to use the airport, because the employments were going in a different direction. American Airlines had a 10.1% gain over the year. Now Delta, unfortunately, their employments were down just a little over 1,000, about 1,200 employments down, but Griffin said he and a consultant, air service consultant, are working with Delta to try to get that fixed. A part of that, Kyle, is because Delta once had a direct connection from Fort Smith to Memphis. That's now from Fort Smith to Atlanta. So that's taken a little bit of the advantage out of flying Delta. But overall, it's a good report for the airport.
All right, I want to stay with airports for a moment, because XNA in 2019 had 922,000 or over that. And that is, a number. That's up 17% over 2018. Little Rock also had, they were up about 5%. They were 1.1 million. But the XNA numbers, up 17%, that's a lot. And look, they're beginning to close in on those Little Rock numbers.
We are getting a little close, aren't we now? Yeah, so I did a little Johnson County farm boy back of the envelope math, but I think I kind of trust my math. 17%, that's a healthy gain. I'm not sure you can sustain 17% every year, but I would bet something, around 8 to 12%. So what I did is, based on scaling back the growth at XNA, and holding harmless the growth at Little Rock, which is to say, let's assume it continues at 5% clip. So my back of the envelope math suggests that within 5 years, XNA will surpass. So in year five, based again on this rough math, there'll be about 1.4 million, 1.3 to 1.4 million, 1.38 to 1.4 million implantments in Little Rock, and there'll be about 1.42 million at XNA, which would make it, you know, the largest commercial field in Arkansas. And Little Rock obviously has been the largest ever since there's been a commercial field in Arkansas. And what's even more interesting is when you look at the population. The population of the Central Arkansas Metro is about 735,000. Northwest Arkansas is around 525. That's incredible. If that doesn't show you the business impact of a Walmart, Tyson, J.B. Hunt, just that unusual combination of businesses in that one metro area, to me, I think that's the impact. That's what's pushing the XNA growth. And to put the 17% in perspective, that was an extra 134,200 employments in 2019. The gain at Little Rock was just 55,000 employments.
When you mentioned that increase in sheer numbers, that's like 2.5 Bentonvilles worth coming in.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's some serious money. And then, you know, so when you drive by the airport and it seems like they're always building on something, whether it's a parking deck or a new terminal, you understand why that's necessary.
I don't know if it's necessary for downtown Fort Smith to be part of the Main Street program in Arkansas, but it certainly is a plus. And for those of you who said, wait, it's been 2 weeks since you've mentioned Talisha Richardson of 64.6 downtown, the drought is over. We're going to talk about her again, too.
Yeah, I guess maybe you'd think we have a quota or we're being paid off to mention them. But no, here we are again. Talisha has been working on this since she took over as director of 64.6 to get the city back in. The city has been part of what's called just a network community since 2007, but it's not been a full member of the Main Street program. And she started working on it, and I think it's been almost a two-year push, but it's finally been accepted, so it's part of it. And there are 21 cities in Arkansas. And, you know, I'm not going to say it's a deal changer and now everything's going to be, you know, roses and rainbows and unicorns in downtown Fort Smith, but there is help. You know, there's assistance with, you know, design ideas and promotion ideas, and you know, you're part of a larger network in terms of best practices and that type of thing. So it's good to be part of that network, and it's just another one of those steps. Again, I want to go back to Steve Clark with ProPAC. Steve Clark with ProPAC, who really got a lot of this downtown Fort Smith redevelopment going. You know, he kept talking about you're just not going to see the cavalry come over the hill and save the day. It's just going to be a lot of small steps, you know, maybe thrown in with a few big things, but it's just going to take a while, take a lot of hard work. And this is just another one of those steps to try to improve downtown Fort Smith, which is, as I have said, I've been covering this city since the early 90s. This is the most momentum, the most excitement I've seen in the downtown area by far.
All right. Well, see, folks, a mostly positive conversation. No, an entirely positive conversation this week.
Well, no, gosh, we haven't spoiled anybody.
I mean, we were happy about the Razorbacks.
I'll work on something crazy negative. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, I know it.
Right.
Well, we're talking basketball, and soon we'll be talking
all right.
It'll be even better.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Michael Tilley is with Talk Business and Politics. You can read about these items and many more at talkbusiness.net. Michael, thanks so much. Stay warm this weekend.
You're welcome, Kyle. It's always a pleasure doing this.
Support provided by Arcega's Coffee Roasters and their newest drive-thru location at 1509 MLK. Open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. 7 days a week with a full menu of beverages featuring Arcega's locally roasted coffee, breakfast sandwiches, and snacks made from scratch. Cold drinks include nitro coffee, iced horchata lattes, and sparkling lavender lemonade. Arcega's on Facebook for more.
This is Ozarks at Large. Australia may be getting some much-needed rain, but the wildfires that have been raging there for weeks have killed or injured an estimated hundreds of millions of animals. And while the land down under is nearly 10,000 miles away, some local Arkansans say they couldn't just stand by. From crocheting to hair blowouts, they're helping. Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek tells us more about how they're stepping up.
A woman using her own shirt to help a badly burned koala. A herd of kangaroos fleeing across a smoky field. Baby wallabies that have to be cared for after losing their moms. Those are just some of the images that have poured out of Australia over the last few weeks. Many of these photos and videos are difficult to watch, but they're also what motivated Danny Schamberger, Hayden Michel, and Bo Sinsimsai to act.
Being in law enforcement and a first responder, I saw a lot of firefighters over there kind of doing what they can to help. And then I saw one, he was a firefighter giving water to a koala. And I was like, my heart just completely melted. I was like, I wish I could do something to help them.
There was this viral video going around of these people running into these flames to save koalas who were trying to protect themselves from these fires. And it's awful.
I am definitely one of those people who, like, with the media, I'm like, this is so depressing. It's easy to shut it off and not think about it. And, like, I mean, that's the other side of the world. Like, sometimes you can kind of that's not happening. You kind of, like, think you're, you know, to yourself, like, it's fine. I live in this little bubble. I think for me, it was like, Bo, you got to wake up. You got to do something. You can't just shut this off.
After that, Bo Sinsimsai says he stayed up for hours reading about the devastation in Australia, looking for ways to help.
A friend of mine actually owns a salon in Austin, and I was following that she was doing a cut-a-thon. So she was doing haircuts for Austin for Australia. And so I was thinking, wait, you can do something like that too here in Fayetteville. Like, you can just bring that awareness to this community. And so I was thinking, yeah, like, that would be more, I think, effective than just doing it yourself.
That something has turned into an event called Blowouts for Australia.
It's getting your hair shampooed and just like blow dried and styled. And that can kind of mean, I guess, on the styling part, several things. So you can get like just a blowout, a smooth blowout, or you can get like, you can have a little bend to it, just a little flip, or even going in with like styling curls.
Sinsimsai is a hairstylist who owns a Salon Beau in Fayetteville.
I kind of was thinking something simple, nothing too technical for the actual event, because we didn't want to be like slammed with all these haircuts or anything kind of crazy. And so I thought a styling event would be kind of fun.
Blowouts for Australia is going to be held this Sunday, January 19th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sinsimsai says they're charging $40 cash for blowouts and $20 cash for brow waxing, with 100% of proceeds going to the World Wildlife Fund.
It said that it helps restore habitats for koalas impacted by the fires. And so one of their first initiatives they want to do is, I think, plant like 1,000 trees to really help these koalas get back to their habitat.
While Sinsimsai is getting ready to host his event, Hayden Michel, a music producer and DJ, just sent an $1,800 check to the New South Wales Rural Fire Service after holding a benefit last weekend.
And I just thought about, wow, these are the firefighters who are, you know, they're just us. They're like community members just like us who are volunteering, going in and risking their lives. So I that's why I decided to pick this organization.
Michel says he organized Arkansas for Australia when he noticed there was nothing else happening in the region to raise money for the wildfire disaster.
I got on Facebook and started texting people, hit up all my friends, and everyone thought it was a great idea and was down. And then I talked to Ben at Axis, and he was in. So, you know, I only had 3 days to prepare. So it was kind of crazy, but, you know, we got it all put together and it ended up being a huge success.
Ben Barling, who is one of the owners of Axis Lounge and Mexican Kitchen, says agreeing to host the benefit was a no-brainer.
We do have a soft spot for, you know, the environment. You know, we made a pledge back in April to be a plastic-free business. And so, you know, moved over to paper straws and paper containers and trying to do, you know, our part in that sense. But, you know, when there was, you know, this opportunity came across our way to help at least provide the venue, sound, and, you know, support for the Australia disasters. You know, it definitely sort of struck a chord with us of wanting to, you know, help make a difference.
Arkansas for Australia took off on Facebook, and Michelle says more than 200 people turned out for the benefit last Saturday night.
I thought it would be a good turnout, but it completely blew our expectations. I mean, it was flash floods and storming. And I remember at one point we were just trying to, you know, collect the money and give out raffle tickets and check IDs and give wristbands. And there was a line of 20, 30 people out in the rain. And it was really cool is, you know, most of the people that came out, you know, they love electronic music. They love that culture. So they wanted to come out and have a good night and party it up and have a good time. But there were a lot of people who just came by just to donate the money.
Michelle says they charged $5 at the door, with 100% of the proceeds going to Australia. But many people donated more than that. The DJs who performed also donated their artists' fees, and Access Lounge donated 10% of their bar sales from that night.
It just shows how awesome Fayetteville in Northwest Arkansas is.
Like Michelle and Simpson Sai, Danny Schamberger says at first she felt helpless as she watched the devastation unfolding in Australia.
Australia, I can't go do anything. There's nothing for me to do there. And so I started looking and I found this craft guild that their main focus is creating anything that could help the animals, whether it be Joey pouches or bat wraps or anything. So I started looking at the photos and I was like, I can sew and I can crochet. Like, that's what I can do.
Schamberger says all she needed was yarn and fabric, and the Animal Rescue Craft Guild provided all the patterns.
I've got a couple Joey pouches, so they're really small. And then you take fabric liners, and they're interchangeable. So, you know, if they get them dirty or something, it's so easy. But they're very stretchy, so they can just get in there and snuggle. So I got about four or five of those done. And then a bird's nest, which was way more complicated than I ever imagined. It took way more time than I thought it would.
On their Facebook page, the Animal Rescue Craft Guild has asked people from around the world to hold off on sending any more donations while they assess what they've received so far. So while the items Schamberger made may not go to Australia, she still plans to put them to good use.
I'm hoping to find maybe a local effort that one of our shelters needs help, or I know from in my line of work, there's a bird rescue that she might be able to use bird nests or things like that. So if, you know, hallelujah, if Australia doesn't need any more things, we can help on a local level at least.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Susanna Sitek.
Nomads Trailside, a restaurant and bar in Fayetteville, will also hold a benefit this month. The Australian Wildlife Fundraiser is set for Friday, January 24th. It's $5 at the door to see performances by The Candid, Sarah Lothan, and Samantha Hunt. The proceeds will go to help wildfire warriors build a new ward to treat animals injured in the wildfires. A new satellite office of the Secretary of State's office now open in Northwest Arkansas. Arkansas Secretary of State John Thurston officiated at a grand opening ribbon cutting yesterday at the office in today's bank building on the corner of College and Dixon in Fayetteville. Thurston says the new office was established primarily to serve corporate and nonprofit business interests in the region.
The Business Commercial Service Division in the Secretary of State's office is what I call the on and off ramp for those who want to do business in Arkansas. You file in the our Business Commercial Service Division, and then when you want to dissolve your company, you do it through our office as well. And so until now, everyone had to come to Little Rock when they had issues with their LLCs, their corporate filings, their nonprofits. They had to make the trip to Little Rock.
Thurston says the office will serve 12 counties where 55% of the state's limited liability corporations operate. The office provides incorporation forms, accepts franchise, business tax, and uniform commercial code form filings, trademark and service mark registration, and a notary service. The Secretary of State Election Division maintains election records, including campaign finance reports, assists county officials with conducting federal, state, and district elections, and ensures compliance with federal election laws. The new Fayetteville office offers voter registration and registration verification to the public.
If they want to come by here, we'll have all the voter registration information here for them. Also, candidates, if they're having trouble with their financial disclosures report their financial statements, if you will, they can come here also. We'll have a kiosk machine where they can log in and talk live with someone in our office. It will be someone from the Little Rock office, but so they can walk them through any challenges they're having with their, filing their financial reports.
And Thurston says this office is a prototype.
If it's really, really effective, as I think it will be, there may be other parts of the state that will probably benefit with something like this.
The new Arkansas Secretary of State satellite office in Fayetteville is open to the public Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4. No appointment necessary. This is Ozarks at Large. Through the Go IT program, Tata Consultancy Services works to inspire students to pursue STEM degrees. Yesterday, TCS hosted a competition where 35 middle school students from Rogers and Bentonville pitched their ideas for mobile apps designed to improve their community. The event, which is part of the only Go IT program in the state, took place at the Rogers Public Schools Professional Learning Center. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda attended the event, and she has this report.
Are you sick and tired of arguing with your children over who's going to take out the trash or who's going to wash the dishes?
Well, guess what? You're in luck. We have created an app called Quick Cleaning that will assign kids chores, which will make adults happy and make chores fun for the whole family.
During the pitch competition, participants discussed the topic and solution they were exploring, their target audience, competitors, and the budget they needed to develop their product.
Quick Cleaning also has a reward system which makes kids eager to complete the chore for a small prize, such as a candy bar or something like that. You could also save your points for a large prize, like Dave & Buster's, High Rise, Fast Lanes, all that good stuff.
Participants tackled several issues, including obesity, bullying, mental health, and digital hall passes. After the presentations were finished, a panel of judges selected a winner.
And of course, first place, Quick Clean.
Carson Wolf, Bo Williams, and Catherine Plan, three seventh graders from Elmwood Middle School in Rogers, made the Quick Cleaning app pitch. They developed the idea with classmates and say the app changed over time.
So we started out with a chore idea, and then, like, we had a robot at the beginning, but then that, we didn't think that
it
was, like...
like, reasonable. It wouldn't, like, be real.
To have the robot do the chores?
Yeah. So we just made an app where you, like, were more organized with your chores.
And, like, you get a reward or something, right?
Yes.
If you do the chore, good. And you can also save up the points if you would like to.
Tata Consultancy Services, one of the largest IT consulting companies in the world, hosted the app competition as part of its Go IT program. Go IT specialist Hillary McDonald says TCS developed the program in 2009 in response to a lack of computer science education in schools. They started with one program in Cincinnati and have since expanded to almost 80 cities around the world.
And the goal is to inspire students to want to pursue technology in the future. So we've built six modules that start with just letting students understand what on earth is this computer science thing anyway, why do I care, understanding about design thinking, which is all around empathy, and how do you create a technological solution to solve problems. Because one of the things we want students to walk away with is people think technology is a thing that exists just because technology, but technology is a tool to solve problems.
For this particular program, the students were challenged to solve problems in their community. Greg Hines, Rogers mayor and one of the judges, praised the notion of giving back to the community.
Regardless of what you become in life, more important is who you become in life. So, as was mentioned, plug yourself into your community. Be concerned about the things that face our community, our region, our state, and our nation. And you don't have to have the solution. That's true. But you need to have a heart to care about it and to be engaged in the system. So be good citizens before you're worried about how much money you make or how much success you have in life.
Tabitha Barker, a teacher at Elmwood Middle School, says the humanitarian aspect of the app competition appealed to her female students.
The thing that I have noticed about girls in computer science is they really have an interest in the humanities, like taking care of things, taking care of people in the humanities. And so when I would do my code a computer game, some would be really on board, but the majority, it was more of like a nuisance. Like, I don't really play video games. I'm not really into this. I mean, of course, they would still do it because it was an assignment, but this helped them really think about what problems do I see in the world and how can I work to solve that.
Barker says another positive aspect of this project is it considers the entire design process.
And it really walks them like through the process of like identifying the problem and considering empathy of others and walking through just the design process. So it's not just about writing the code, of course that comes later, but it's about just planning it all out from the beginning, which we want to solve a problem, to the end, which is coding it.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, employment of computer and information technology occupations is projected to grow 12% from 2018 to 2028. That's much faster than the average for all occupations. These occupations are projected to add about 546,000 new jobs. Go IT specialist Hillary McDonald says it's critically important to expose students to professionals in the field.
Because you see that they're not all Mark Zuckerbergs, that they look like you, they dress like you, they are like you, and you can be like them.
McDonald says they're trying to demystify the whole tech space.
End goal, we don't necessarily want like army of coders. They're all going to come out and be perfect programmers. We want them to be inspired to continue developing and growing in computer science, which is why we also started the middle school level, because we're getting them young enough to where they're still willing to hear that computer science is cool, because they're forming opinions about themselves, what's cool, what isn't, and then they can continue. Because sometimes in high school, like, once you set electives, that's kind of your elective path for the rest of your 4 years. So we want to show them early on what's out there, so once they get into high school, they can choose electives accordingly.
She says others have expressed interest in the Northwest Arkansas Go IT program, and she hopes to spread the initiative to other parts of the state. More information about the program is available at tcs.com. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Yesterday, Northwest Medical Center in Springdale held a ribbon-cutting and open house for a new simulation lab. The new training center offers education and training procedures to Northwest health staff and supports hands-on workshops for emergency medical services, first responders, and other medical professionals throughout Arkansas. Ozarks at Large's Daniel Carruth has this report.
I'm going to start an IV. We've got an IV arm, and that mannequin actually, you can start IVs on, and you can get fluid return from it and everything.
EMS coordinator Shane Stanley stands over a state-of-the-art mannequin as he taps an iPad showing vital signs and demonstrates emergency medical training procedures.
Start an IV, give us some aspirin, are you allergic to any medication? You know, go through the whole assessment and start treating him.
This is the simulation lab at Northwest Medical Center in Springdale, which held an open house and ribbon cutting for the new facility yesterday. Northwest Health CEO Hans Dreisnick says the training lab is an important step in elevating the region's emergency medical services.
We're excited about this sim lab and what it means for our community. The goal of this sim lab is to grow the skill set in our entire response team. This is about raising the level of care for trauma patients and for all patients in our community, from the presentation, whether it be in the field or at the ER, and making sure that their care all the way through the process is as ideal as possible and based upon evidence-based best practice.
The lab, which is funded by a grant from the Arkansas Department of Health, offers several high-fidelity mannequins and simulation software that mimics real-life trauma scenarios. Velvet Reed Schultz, Director of Emergency Medical Outreach, says the lab is the closest medical professionals can get to working on real patients.
What you see is a simulated hospital or ambulance environment. So what we have are mannequins. You'll see several different kinds that do pretty much every procedure you would do as a nurse, paramedic, or EMT in a hospital or pre-hospital setting. It's more to help them be comfortable touching the patients, putting in the lines, putting in the airways. We're actually able to mock different heart rhythms, different vital signs. And they actually, with the simulator, get a chance to shock a rhythm or to do an intervention in there, all in a simulated setting with an educator with them.
Schultz also says many of the mannequins and software are portable, and the simulation lab offers mobile trainings thanks to an ambulance donated by Northwest EMS.
So all the mannequins you see have a little bag, kind of like this one standing over here on the counter, that they fit in, as well as the simulator's all mobile. So we can take this entire lab to any type of setting, nursing schools, and we've taken it to the high schools, to our rural EMS partners, or our small rural hospitals that are our partners as well. It can all go and be simulated in that setting.
Northwest Health houses the only hospital-based simulation lab in the region. And trauma director Joe Alevi says while it was intended to train Northwest Health nurses and emergency medical service workers, the lab is quickly becoming a community resource.
We've kind of expanded that to the outside community. Anybody can come in-house and practice on these mannequins before they actually have to go out there in their day-to-day jobs. But it's not just trauma. It's also things such as cardiac heart rhythms, doing certain procedures. And a lot of these patients, they'll require a lot of the same procedures, even though they weren't trauma, starting IVs, chest tubes, intubating the patient if they have respiratory difficulties.
He also says the lab offers invaluable training for medical professionals and students.
Well, practice makes perfect. So if you practice those difficult scenarios, then when you come to them in real life, you will know what to do and be able to put forth that education that you've had.
Ginger Lamar with the Springdale Chamber of Commerce says the simulation lab will make healthcare profession opportunities more accessible for the community.
So there's a growing need for healthcare, and we all know that, you know, as Northwest Arkansas is growing, there's a need for that. There's a need for all kinds of healthcare roles. And so this is just one avenue to educate them, to give them the services that they need, to give them the technology that they need. Plus, it excites them. Watching the instructors here get so excited about the technology and what they can do with this in the simulation area, that will also get the other, you know, people that are needing these services to get them excited, and it gives better health care. And so that's what we need for our communities, to strive better and to provide better health care. And that's what Northwest is doing right now for the Northwest Arkansas area.
Okay, on the count of three, we will cut that ribbon. So 1, 2, 3.
Nice. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Daniel Carruth.
It is Friday, the 17th day of January 2020. With me is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. How are you, Becca?
I'm going to lobby for bringing back checks.
The type you write for a bill or something?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because then you know what year and what day it is.
Because you have to write it so
often. Without checks, we're all confused and lost. But I do know what we're talking about today.
And that is?
That is the new film festival at the Walton Arts Center this weekend. This is, if not a marriage, at least a date between the Fayetteville Film Festival and the Walton Arts Center.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a filmmaker showcase intended to highlight work done in Arkansas.
What I like about this is you're hearing about filmmakers from places you wouldn't expect to hear or be able to see often a chance to see a film from someone who is from Calico Rock or Solemn Springs. Really great idea.
And these are all long enough. You know, the short films that are 5 or 6 minutes aren't long enough for me. These are all long enough to tell a story.
You got a narrative in your opinion on this one, yeah.
And it'll be fun. 8 o'clock Saturday at the Walton Arts Center. Tickets are $15, and a moderated Q&A will follow the screening. A new thing at the Rogers Historical Museum tomorrow called Kids Craft Corner. They're going to have this once a month, and tomorrow from 1 to 4, they're going to make a mini mandolin.
Mandolin, like an instrument, okay.
And it's super cool. There's a story on today's sub page about it, how they figured out the differences in rubber bands to string it so it would make different sounds.
Wow.
And so you don't have to sign up. It's free. You just show up between 1 and 4 and make one.
Okay.
And then on Sunday, Farewell to the Bluebirds.
Terra Studios will be, you know,
making their last
ones.
Bluebirds.
Until technology comes along that doesn't create as big a carbon footprint.
Right. And they're going to have stories and music and snacks, and you can see the final Bluebirds created from 1 to 4 at Terra Studios. That's all free. And Sunday, I get to come back and tell you what the public will find out tonight, what season 35 holds for Arkansas Public Theater in Rogers.
All right. The season will be announced tonight. But you and I will talk about it more in depth on Sunday morning's Weekend Ozarks at Large.
We will.
Becca Martin Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten, in part, by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. SONA, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, continues the 65th season February 1st at Walton Arts Center. SONA musicians and special guest soloists perform the season's second Masterworks concert, featuring Carl Orff's masterpiece, Carmina Burana. Tickets at 443-5600 or sonamusic.org.
The House of Songs will host its 2020 Songwriter Summit tomorrow night at Midtown Associates in Springdale. It'll showcase 7 songwriters from around the world and songs co-written this week. Yesterday, Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis welcomed the songwriters and House of Songs Director of Artist Management Graham Weber to the Furman Garner Performance Studio. Graham gave a little background on the Songwriter Summits held by the House of Songs.
The past 4 years, we've gathered people from all over the world to come to one of our houses. The last 3 years, it's been here in the Ozarks. This time we have 7 artists. So we have Kaya Cater from Canada, Oscar Mukherjee from Denmark, Jane Ellen Bryant from Austin, Texas, Aaron Smith from Harrison, Arkansas, Peter Moore from The World, but currently residing in Austin, Texas, Dean Owens from Scotland, and Leslie Stevens from Los Angeles, California. So we're all living in the house together in Bentonville. In the last couple days, they've written, in 2 days of writing, there have been 16 new songs created. So we'll have a public performance of the new work on Saturday, the 18th, at Midtown Associates in Springdale, downtown Springdale. It's the first time we've done one of these summit performances and premiered new things in in Springdale, so we're really excited about that. And then after that, next week, we'll all travel together down to New Orleans to the Folk Alliance International Conference. All these great artists will showcase their work and maybe some of the new songs as well. And then from there, pretty much everybody, we're all flying to London directly from New Orleans after that conference is over to go to the Americana Music Association UK Conference Festival. Same kind of thing. They'll showcase the new work, showcase their original material. We've done this many times. It's the first time we've gone from one conference to a second conference, back to back to back. So it's a 3-week project. But speaking on behalf of the House of Songs, we couldn't be more thrilled with the artists that were able to come. And it's just a great group of people. And some of the work that they're doing is amazing to me, that they can create such beautiful things out of thin air. And most of them have never met each other before a couple days ago. So it's really nice that we can be a part of that and hopefully see new things created here in Northwest Arkansas.
My name is Kaya Cater, and I come from Toronto, Canada, and I'm a banjo player. And this song is called Starry Day. It's from my record, Grenades. I'm kind of obsessed with apocalyptic things, just as a general rule, and darkness. This song was kind of born out of this feeling of total helplessness about climate change, and also married with, you know, this kind of biblical idea of storm and natural disasters. Yeah, it's really light stuff. So, yeah, this is called Starry Day. And now the final curtain. Turn your eyes up to the light. She with venom tongue moves oceans, draws you out into the fight. And here you lie with belly open, with the lions round the flame, who with tender jaw unbroken draw you out into the plains. On that starry day, on that starry day, you kiss ground and you hear it rumble. Find beauty in the nerve. See the proud bow to the humble and sink their feet into the earth. And backwards now with blade and beacon, lift your gutted lungs and sing. Break you now into the season. Lift your gutted lungs and sing on that starry day. On that starry day. On and on and on that starry day.
Nice. Very nice.
Well, my name's Oscar Mukherjee, and I come from Copenhagen, Denmark. That's the capital. I'm going to play a song off my last EP here from came out in the fall. It's called Sentimental Sleep. The song's called The Road. And I lived in California for a number of years as a kid, and my family, they're Danish, moved back to Denmark when I was around 13. And so this was one of the first songs I wrote kind of about moving from one place to another. I recently kind of got it out of the old bag and did some editing and recorded it, and now it just came out, and hopefully what's the definitive version. But so this song's called The Road. Shaking like a leaf, 'cause I don't wanna go. I don't wanna go. They say the road is long and free, but I don't wanna go. I don't wanna go. From the California seas, I'm traveling alone, traveling alone. From a sentimental sleep, I'm traveling alone, traveling alone. I'm down on my own. I try not to show it. I'm down all alone. Just a suitcase and this song. My heart's heavy like a stone, heavy like a stone. Wherever I belong, my heart is heavy like a stone, heavy like a stone. Down on my own, I try not to show it. I'm down all alone. Shaking like a leaf, 'cause I don't wanna go. I don't wanna go.
Nice. Very nice.
I'm Jane Ellen Bryant from Austin, Texas, and I'm going to play a song I wrote the last time I was in Arkansas. I had lunch with Troy Campbell from the House of Songs, and we were talking about the music industry and all of its, you know, many turns and mountains you have to go through. But the main, I remember him saying something about, like, he tried so hard to fit in into this certain scene for years and finally realized, like, there's already too many of the people, these, you know, people doing this. So he went and did his own thing. And I related to that a lot, then went back to the house in Bentonville and wrote this song. So it's called Red or Green.
I don't belong in an apple tree. Yet taught to assume I must be red or green. I find myself bearing a rainbow. Tomorrow I'm turquoise. Today I am melon. Learning my lessons while flying a kite. Caught on a bluebird as it passes us by. I start to notice our different paths of flight. There's plenty of space in and out of the sky. I don't have to follow suit. Why do you need me to be like you? I choose to bleed only from what I've seen. If you take it from me, there's more than red or green. They say, why don't you play in our hot nightclub? There's people taking their clothes off, redefining fun. They'll never despise you, they might recognize you. Just keep them moving, keep them grooving. They'll consume whatever we tell them to. I still say, I don't like myself in those clubs. I can relate to people without having to take your drugs. I suppose it can be nice sometimes, but it's night after night, night after night, losing another minute in life. Influence changes current every day, and I wanna make something that stays in your mind when they turn on the lights. Alive to align with the value of time. Here's a chance to forever carry on. If 50 years later someone sings a song, it's bigger than you, bigger than me, and no one will remember it fit into the color scheme. Red or green, red or green, red or green. Red, red or green. Mm-hmm. Cover me up, come take a bite. You might even like what you find on the inside. Cover me up, come take a bite. You might on the inside. Find on the inside.
Nice. That was great. So I'm Merritt Smith, and I'm the Arkansan in this group. I grew up in Bergman, Arkansas, which is a suburb of metropolitan Harrison, Arkansas. And Harrison's a town of 12,000, and Bergman's a town of 213. And so not being particularly inclined to trucks, cows, or basketball, I was in a hurry to get out of Arkansas. And Fayetteville was a big relief. Orlando was terrifying. It was a long time before I was homesick for this place. But, yeah, I've really come to love Arkansas. And so this is a song kind of about that process. And I wrote for a couple friends of mine, Karen and Scott Fancher. We lost Scott last year, and they were the first people to invite me over to a song circle with a bunch of moonshine and homemade moonshine and other things, and a lot of Willie Nelson and John Prine songs, so very special people to me. This is called Completely Wrong. Your voice, I heard the grass growing, hay baling, the cattle lowing. I heard the draw on a cigarette. I felt the wonder and regret, just like a scratchy whiskered hug from a grandpa that you love. Smells like whiskey and everything that took too long to learn to love about where I come from. And I'm ashamed to say that when I went away, I was not proud to be from Arkansas. I see more clearly now that I was completely wrong. When I heard your voice, like a gospel meeting, like granny in a rocking chair, like mother mourning, like a tired hope that you keep repeating, like sitting by the fire when the baby's sleeping, like everything that took too long to learn to love about where I come from. And I'm ashamed to say that when I went away, I was not proud to be from Arkansas. I see more clearly now that I was completely wrong. Got a bottle of beer, and I got an itch to hear hello in there again. It's like a sacrament. And Mikey's holding down the loads, just like he did when he was just a kid. And it's like a sacrament. It's like a sacrament. 'Cause it's a sacrament. Just like everything that took too long to learn to love about where I come from, the place I call my home, on the banks of the Buffalo, back in those hills, the Ozarks of Arkansas. I see more clearly now that I was completely wrong. I see more clearly now that I was completely wrong.
Aaron Smith in the Furman Garner Performance Studio yesterday. He'll join Kaya Cater, Peter Moore, Oscar Mukherjee, Jane Ellen Bryant, Leslie Stevens, and Dean Owens tomorrow night for the House of Songs 2020 Songwriter Summit at 7 p.m. at Midtown Associates in Springdale. Doors at 6:30. Suggested donation of $10 at the door. More at the Facebook page for House of Songs. We'll hear more from that session in a couple of weeks. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Tahlequah. Contributors today included Antoinette Grajeda, Zuzana Sitek, Timothy Dennis, Daniel Carruth, and Jacqueline Froelich, who provided us information and sound from the opening of the Secretary of State's satellite office. Our thanks to Michael Tilley from Talk Business and Politics and Becca Martin Brown from the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette for their usual Friday help. Our show was mastered in the Herald and Blanchcock News Studio by Timothy Dennis. Theme written and performed by Daryl Sean. Thanks so much for spending time with us. We can get together again Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks at Large.